GNC 567. It's Friday, April 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, I know. This is a Thursday show on Friday. There was no Monday show. We'll talk about that here in a second. I got a lot to catch you all up on. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to go over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You can get subscribed as well. You can do that via either iTunes, Zune Marketplace, your favorite podcatcher, using an RSS aggregator that can download podcasts, whatever it may be. Get subscribed so you don't miss a single show of the Geek News Central podcast, produced here twice weekly, except for this week. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to all of the Ohana. And thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for being patient. A very busy, crazy, insanely nuts week. And all good plans really went down the toilet about Monday late afternoon. I had planned on putting the show out as normal, and my wife had a procedure, which was supposed to be an in-and-out procedure that ended up being resulting in an overnight stay and had me pretty involved, a lot of time on the phone. So anyway, long story short, no show on Monday night. And then getting through all everything else that's been going on throughout the rest of the week. And lots of stuff. Man, it's been crazy. Of course, I had Anna McCaskey at NAB covering for Geek News Central. We'll talk about that in a few minutes and all the content that's going to be coming up there. Had the team at NAB covering the show. We'll talk about that as well. So really, it just ended up being just one thing after the other, requiring me to really having to put off the show until today. And I apologize. Normally doesn't happen. I had sent out via the newsletter that the Monday show was going to be canceled. And I know a number of you had responded. I had gotten some email from specifically one individual that watches the show via Ustream, not real happy with me because he'd hung out for a while and brought in the credibility of me doing the show because I hadn't shown up. But get subscribed to that newsletter. That newsletter is going to be where I'm going to send you updates on what's going on with the show. You definitely want to check the website. Last night, we did it two-way. I did it on the website and via newsletter. So definitely check that out. And did well early at my normal show time. So everybody should have got the word that we weren't going to be live last night. But anyway, back to a normal schedule. And so, again, I apologize for no show. It's just, you know, the perfect storm. It really, really was. And with everything we announced the week before, with Raw Voice essentially bringing on Blueberry community into the Roku and the tech podcast community in the Boxy, and soon to be vice versa, will be in both those communities, will be in the other apps as well, or any other devices as well. Just released an absolute torrent of press request. Really, it's been an amazing, amazing week. I've spoke to some major, major companies. Who did I talk to? Well, some of the companies, I can't say who I talked to because they asked for me to remain confidential about our discussions. But needless to say, some of the biggest players in the industry I spent some time with, on the phone, and likewise this week. So we're really excited about what we've introduced. Talked with the Roku folks. They're real happy with the introduction of the new channel and excited about what we've got moving forward. I'm not going to be talking about a lot of the plans and a lot of things that we're going to do because, man, oh, man, we really have come up with the response from content creators has simply been overwhelming with them understanding that they can get their own channel on these devices now. And we're really, really excited. We think we've got some serious momentum ahead of us. The team did great at NAB. Huge response. Huge response from the show. So we're excited about that response from there. Talked with Andy, and Andy has got, he said, 20 different interviews, had chipped cameras and stuff out to him. And he'd covered the show, talked to vendors. He specifically was, we were, him and I, as we talked, we were really excited about backpacks. You guys know that I've been looking for a backpack, specifically a live streaming backpack. And the folks over at LiveU, of course, they'll rent you one, but they won't sell you one. But there's a new firm in Texas, and I'm going to get the information for you on the next show as soon as I get some of the details. But a new firm in Texas is going to have a backpack. And then there is a, I think they're called TVU or something like that. They're going to be coming out with a backpack. These are backpacks we can purchase. Not inexpensive by a long shot. Probably starting pricing starts in around $15,000. But better than renting. You know, I think the LiveU folks make you rent from month to month at $2,500 a month or something like that. So definitely I got to figure out how that fits into the budget this year. But very exciting stuff to be able to put on a backpack, hook a camera to it, and live stream while we're at shows and events and doing interviews. So I'm really excited about being able to own one of those backpacks. And the stuff with NewTek and their new HD system. Right now, I have a six-channel TriCaster. So as you guys on Ustream can see, I can go between really six different views here. And I can actually bring up computer views as well, along with going external. So really, I've got, in essence here, about seven different video views that I can show you. The new HD TriCasters, the initial system that is basically the replacement, same box size as the unit I have right now, is only three channels. And that just doesn't get it. Now, they have sell an eight-channel unit, but it's $25,000. But what it does, watching the videos on their website and what they, holy mackerel. I'm just about beside myself because you can do picture-in-picture, which would make it really cool when I, you know, I don't know if it's worth $25,000, but when I switch to this view and I show you guys the desktop, be able to have my picture in one frame and then the desktop in the other and then do a switch, I think is pretty exciting stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, a huge amount of money to spend for really an incremental upgrade to an eight-channel system and basically going having to go to and do some more hardware upgrades. So I think the focus this year will probably be on the backpack and be able to live stream, and that'll be one of the main focuses finance-wise on this show as we head into the rest of the year. But, you know, and I think once I get the backpack, then I can rent it out and help subsidize some of the costs. So anyway, if you're a new listener to the show, hey, this show is normally produced every Tuesday. It's recorded live on Ustream every Tuesday and Monday and Thursday night. Then the show is released as a audio and video podcast both Tuesday and Friday morning. Usually available very early in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. So unusual tonight for the show to be recorded on a Friday, but it's just because of things been nuts this week here. So anyway, just, you know, if you want to come join us on live, please do so. Normally we're recorded pretty late in the evening, both Eastern and Pacific time. So keep us in your calendar just to get subscribed to the show. We reach about listeners in 163 countries worldwide. Again, sign up for the newsletter. That's where you get all the announcements on what's happening with the show or no show. Generally, I think over the past 5 years, I think I can count on two hands the number of times that I have not actually been able to perform a show. on the scheduled time and place. So again, my apologies this week. It's just one of those weeks of perfect storm, big press, big number of vendors that came to, that really wanted to talk to us. And not only that, but got the attention of some boys from Sand Hill Road. I mean, it's been crazy. It really, really was and has been over the past week. So anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Let me go ahead and bust out what else I'm getting here. And I want to go ahead and extend. What's going on here? I want to extend the Ring Central giveaway. Talked about that a little bit on the last show. Did not get a very big response for it. So I'm going to open, I guess there's not none of you that need essentially a very, very cool phone system where you dial into one telephone number. It gives you a variety of voicemail boxes. You can assign its extensions to it to drop it into other individuals. Basically ring their phone and forward it to their phones or whatever device they may be on. So I'm going to extend it through the next show. And if you are a small business or an individual that are looking to start a business, think that you could use this, we're giving this away for a year. It's a free giveaway. So you get one person on the show is going to get a Ring Central account for a year free of charge. And then, of course, they're going to go into the running for a for the big prize. That's, I guess it's like almost a $5,000 value with some additional services. So if you're interested in this and want a chance at winning, just email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I remind all of you to set your Wi-Fi SSID tags to geeknewscentral.com. And also for those of you that are supporting the show financially, you're going to be getting your first Geek News Central Insider this weekend. So I look forward to sending that out. It's going to be absolutely 100% private, only to those that are supporting the show. And if you're considering supporting the show, you can do that by going to the second column of the website and you see Geek News Central Supporter. Go ahead and click on that link, and that'll get you in to essentially get the Geek News Central Insider. And I'll cover a lot more stuff about what happened in the previous week and information we had gotten out of NAB from the folks that were there. What else have I got on my list here? Yep, I think that's it. Hey, if you haven't checked us out on Roku, go ahead and add the Blueberry channel to Roku, and we're going to your Roku device. We're going to be adding a lot more shows over the weekend, so it's going to grow from 220 shows to probably close to 1,000 very quickly, so make sure you do that. And if you haven't tried Boxy out, you can download that and check out the TPN app as well. So look forward to additional announcements here in the very near future. Looks like also that I'm going to be going out to Ford. I got received an invitation by Ford Motor Company to come out to Dearborn on, I guess, 19th of May, something like that. And they're going to bring me in. And I guess, I don't know if there's anybody, how many other bloggers or podcasters are coming, but they're going to have us in. And basically, we're going to be able to tour their plant and to get some access to some exclusive areas. So it's a reach out by Ford, and we're going to go ahead and accept their offer to come out to Dearborn and do a tour. And so we'll be talking about that as I get the details on heading out to Michigan for that. Might even try to tie that into a visit to see Mom, and she's in Southern Michigan, so try to see her at the same time when I fly out there for that. We've got a Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 we're going to be giving away in future shows, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Also, I want to give away a Roku tonight. So if you are listening to the show and you can respond before Monday's show, actually, let's go ahead and make it, since I'm recording late, and some of you won't get the show until Monday, we'll extend the giveaway until Thursday. And, just email Roku giveaway. Tell me why you want it. Just doesn't, or what you think what we're doing. Just comment about what we're doing and going into these devices, these set-top boxes, or as the industry calls them, over-the-top TV or OTT. And just let me know what you think what we're doing there. And on a week from Thursday, or a week this following Thursday, we will give away a Roku to a listener of the show. And that way you guys will be able to sample the content from this show and others on the device. Okay, let me go ahead and look and make sure I've got all my stuff covered here. I've covered a lot of territory here real quickly. And I think that's it. Oh, I didn't mention wife is doing fine. She's okay. I talked about her going in for procedure and staying overnight. She's fine. She's doing great. Just talked to her on the phone about 5 minutes ago. She's picking the kids up. So she's really susceptible to under being gassed. And the procedure they had to do to her was required to basically to gas her for the procedure. And she was really groggy when she came out of that. So the just as a safe side, they kept her overnight as a on a observatory purpose. So that's kind of what happened there. Okay, let me see here. Let me go ahead and look at the list. I think that's it. Let's take care of a little business here before we get into the regular content. Hey, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, check out GoDaddy.com. Matter of fact, I've got a cool video I'm going to be embedding into tonight's show. You'll find it if you watch. Basically, if you are a subscriber to the video podcast, you'll see the video at the end of the show as kind of bonus material. And I'll try to put it up on the website as a one-off link to it as well. Definitely check it out. It's a link to a pretty cool announcement and information from GoDaddy, some promotional stuff, so check that out. But, you know, if you're looking for a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, GoDaddy really is the place to go. And I can save you a lot of money by going over to GoDaddy and picking up one of their, using one of my promotional codes. And actually, let me go ahead and switch this page on here. And take that off. And if you basically go to the Second Kamala website, you will see a link to basically GoDaddy codes. And it's down here in this area right here for those of you watching on Ustream. But if you use the promo code COMSALE, $7.49 on .coms, Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek 5 will save you 15% on any order $20 or more. Geek will save you $5 off any order $30 or more. One of them that's really, really popular right now is the Aloha code, A-L-O-H-A, $20 off on any order $75 or more. And, of course, one of our other most popular codes is Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account at GoDaddy.com. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Along with that, of course, great product, GoToMeeting. Just absolutely love using this this product. Matter of fact, I was using the GoToMeeting, the iPad app, the Citrix iPad app, and it was really pretty handy to use that as well. But, you know, anytime I can avoid getting my car or getting on an airplane to fly somewhere, I do. And that's why I have been using GoToMeeting to hold my meetings online instead of wasting time and money sitting in traffic or on an airplane. GoToMeeting, brought to you by my friends at Citrix, is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. You know, we have found during doing roundtables and different presentations, even if the individual has something to show me and they've never used the product before, really you can make someone a presenter by just doing a little click on a button to a menu item. And it takes no training to run GoMeeting. I don't know if I would get in trouble with the folks at that sell the car insurance, but yes, even a caveman could do it. It's that easy. I'm sure I just violated somebody's trademark or messaging. But, you know, they see your computer. You can see theirs if they so chose to show it to you. It's great for sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, you name it. And really, it's affordable. $49 a month, you can hold as many meetings as you want. And what's cool, within a company, in the office, you know, share that username, password, log in, you know, do the do different demos, and it's really perfect. Perfect. It even includes phone and voice over IP. So again, my listeners can get GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of online unlimited meetings. Free for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day demo. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, before I bust into the regular content, I want to show all of the what I want to do. I do want to do this early. So those of you that are not normally watching the video podcast, we are at about 19 minutes and 48 seconds. For those of you listening on audio, if you want to load the video up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the iPhone app submissions. Okay, so we've had an iPhone app contest running. I've asked for design submissions to have come in. They're basically, everyone's got their submissions in. I'm going to run through these really quick. And the first one I'm going to show you is by Tom over at the Fogview Podcast. And he has got an app design that I like. I really do. There's really, all of them are great. I'll let you guys look through all three choices. I'll provide some screenshots in a zip file I'm going to make available to be downloadable. I'm not going to show you all their write-ups because I kind of consider that a little bit proprietary. But basically, he's got it here set up so that individuals can read the blog. Then they can, let's see if I can bring this over, look at the podcast. And then that links to either the audio or video podcast so that you can listen or watch. He's got a Twitter interface in here so that you can see the recent tweets that I have made. And then what I think is really cool is he's got an area that's called Contact GNC. He's got a section where you can click on the link. You can email a comment to the show. He's even got a recording device in here so you can record an audio comment and have it sent immediately via email to me. He's got several different website links, GNC website via Safari, GNC on Facebook, GNC on Twitter, and then a link to Where in the World is Todd. So it's a pretty cool app. So again, blog, podcast section, a Twitter section, a contact section where you can actually record an audio comment, all in a very simple to use interface. The next submission comes from one of our longtime listeners of the show. This is Sam out in Albuquerque. And he's got it so when you load the app up, boom, you can immediately hit play and listen to the show. Or there's I hate it when that does that. I didn't push the, I was trying to make this so everyone else could see it here. And it helps if you watch what you're doing with the mouse. But then there's a link to be able to see the show notes and actually read the blog information as well. Details here on how you could actually submit a subscribe to the email via the app itself. So he's got some pretty good features here. It's basically contact, newsletter, episodes, and show notes. The only thing I don't see, Sam, in here is how you're going to bring in both the audio and the video. There's three feeds for the show. There's audio, video, and a special media feed. So I'm not sure how you've got that broken in there. But I like the design as well. Very clean, very easy to use. So, again, we'll have some pictures of these available for everyone to take a look at. We're going to vote on these. So you're going to have to start sending in your emails basically to geeknews@gmail.com and letting me know which design you like the best. And I'll have that information in the show notes available where you can actually look at it. The last one, let me see, to bring this up in a Word document here, basically there's a, let me change the zoom on this. Okay, that's good. You've got the app logo, and then you've got the ability to look at the audio, video, or special media feed. Then he has this link in there to be able to look at the latest Twitter announcements. And then you've got the availabilities to send an email and leave voicemail. Now, I don't know what happens when he clicks on, or when someone would click on the leave voicemail. Oh, it says a button to call your voicemail line. So this would actually link, dial the actual voicemail hotline. And you'd actually be able to use your telephone to leave a voicemail. But he also breaks it down where you can see the blog and audio feed, show notes, and then, of course, the player that would come up. So all of this is pretty much a lot of similar functionality here to the other apps. So I think the best thing I can do is, provide you guys some screenshots to look at in a download. And then you guys vote on it. You guys tell me which app you like the best or best submission. And then I will take probably votes for a week. And let's see here. The last submission was by, let me actually bring up the email here. So I make sure I've got everyone credit where credit is due. believe it was from Ryan. Let me look at the name. Oh, boy. Let's see here. It was from Jason, actually, Jason Clara. So we got Sam, and then we also have Tom from Fogview Podcast. So three entries, and the way I showed them to you guys was Tom, Sam, and Jason. And we'll get those out and have a link. You guys can all take a look, vote on them, tell me which app you like the best, and the app that is voted upon the most favorably, we will hire the developer to produce the iPhone app for the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, let me go ahead here and switch back to regular content. That's what you guys all came for. And as expected, I figured the room would be, show would be pretty long tonight. Let's see here. Gotta bring up. Actually, I'm using Firefox tonight. I was kind of out of my element, having not done a show in a week, and started loading stuff up in Firefox. But so far, it's holding tight. All right, news out of news and rumor front today over at ArsTechnica.com. There's a report that AMD and Apple may be in talks. The rumor du jour is that everyone's favorite tablet maker is considering AMD for a spot in the Mac lineup. The folks over at Apple Insider allege that AMD execs have been pitching Apple on the chipmaker's upcoming product roadmap, and the two parties are in advanced discussion about putting AMD in some Apple products. This would be big. This would be a big coup by AMD if they were able to do that. Now, it would be interesting to see how that fits in with the strategy in that Intel has really been, you know, king of the hill performance-wise, and they've really invested heavily in the Intel infrastructure for Mac. So we'll see what happens with this. Don't know how much of a adoption phase there is, but we'll see if any rumor or anything develops from this over the next couple of weeks. All right, there's an iPhone OS 4 jailbreak available. Enables multitasking on 3G. Now, what I find funny here is that the iPhone 4.0 beta, which I guess has been available to just devs only and is set to ship later this summer, has already been jailbroken. The iPhone dev team has released a preliminary beta of the jailbreaking 2, and they're saying it's not for the casual jailbreaker. So we'll see what happens here. So if you have got a hold of the iPhone OS 4 beta and you want to jailbreak it, hey, knock yourself out. I guess it's available. So I have the link up to this in the show notes for you. One thing that's been, you know, I heard a discussion on earlier in the week. I was actually reading online. It's basically how there's this big battle going on right now, really with in open source. And there's been some development where essentially a lot of companies are using open source applications, right? Using Apple's open source code in devices and different applications, and really not applying the, because within open source specifically, most of the licenses are under GPL, and GPL has specific requirements for licensing if someone uses some of the code. So what's been released is a binary analysis tool to find essentially open source code in device firmware. Then what they're recommending is that this be a tool to find GPL violators, and as a way to shaming them or even litigating against them to make sure that they set the specific licensing for their hardware code if they're using any open source software. So I think this is pretty cool that they've actually developed a tool, a binary analysis tool, to detect Linux and BusyBox and binary firmware. And the program is freely available for download and is intended to aid open source license compliance efforts. So pretty cool on that front. Well, this botnet called Zeus, Zeus. There's a report out that up to 88% of Fortune 500 companies have been affected by the Zeus Trojan. And this was done by a firm called the RSA Fraud Action Anti-Trojan Division. So RSA's Fraud Action Anti-Trojan Division What this Trojan does, installs keystroke loggers and steals login credentials to banking, social networking, and email accounts. The bot has botnet's been around since 2007. It's still proliferating today. But what's amazing here is that the number of machines that continue to they get infected. Now, the malware itself is primarily being attacking Windows XP machines, although Windows Vista and Windows 7 variants are for sale and available too. So if you're part of a big company or even a small company, they have a number of computers, you may want to, you know, really take a look at your infrastructures and make sure that you're looking for malware or Trojans like this. If 88% of Fortune 500 companies have been affected, you can be rest assured that a lot of small companies have as well. There's a very interesting report out by ABI Research, and this is a little heavy reading for all of you, and this has been dissected by a number of websites today. But Verizon Wireless, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile were analyzed, and of course, with AT&T taking the brunt of criticism in 2009, and AT&T basically saying, well, in large part, the fault was actually on the iPhone, that their networks were fine. What this research has found is that AT&T isn't actually moving the most data across their network. So they went through and measured and did some, you know, basic validating of how much data each of the specific networks were using, and really kind of found that even though AT&T says that the devices are using an extraordinary amount of network resources, companies like Sprint and Verizon are actually moving more content through their mobile networks than AT&T is. And I would believe that. I've never seen anybody with an AT&T mobile card. And when I ever see someone, I'll always ask, and I get around a lot. You guys know I travel. I ask what kind of a mobile card you're using. You know, 9 out of 10 times, it's either a Verizon or a Sprint mobile card. So I'm not surprised by this. Factors qualified as contributing to mobile data traffic levels included total data devices by operator, total data activated devices by operator. That's just saying the same thing. Includes total data devices by operator, or total data activated devices by operator, and total data consumption by device type by operator. So they looked at handsets, they looked at mobile devices, look all kinds of different, they measure things up, but essentially they don't know if AT&T's network is as savvy as they say it is. Now, AT&T has responded significantly to this, saying that the data results are flawed, but ABI Research is pretty well known. They are not a company to put out data that would make, you know, not be backed up by a lot of facts. So, unfortunately, I don't know if you can actually purchase. I think you actually purchased the full report, but there is a small subset of information available about it, and then I've got some coverage from some supporting sites. I've actually read the whole document, so I'll get that out to you in the show notes. All right, Congress has a call to action to outlaw caller ID spoofing, and in fact, the House has passed the Truth in Caller ID Act of 2010, and really what it does, it becomes illegal to cause any caller ID service to transmit misleading or inaccurate caller ID information with the intent to defraud or deceive. The bill maintains exemption for blocking one's own outgoing caller ID, and law enforcement isn't affected. So, you know, you get calls to say blocked. You can still block outgoing calls from you. Basically, so when you call someone, your caller ID doesn't show up. Law enforcement can still block their number. Really, when I get a call that says blocked, I don't even answer it. I just let it go to voicemail. So if you're blocking your number when you call me, just be prepared. I will not answer the phone. I just don't. Because usually it's a salesman trying to sell me something. And if you want to get a hold of me that bad, I publicly put my telephone number on the web. I don't, call people on the whim because I've got your number. But definitely don't block your number when you dial me and you call. The number of you have, and you've left voicemails, and I wish I would have been able to respond quicker, but It's just a policy I have. But anyway, at least it's going to make it punishable for those that are basically trying to scam us. Another way to strike back. How enforceable it is, I don't know. All right, BBC News is reporting that Europe is preparing to... Let me actually bring this up on... Wasn't ready to do that. Let me go ahead and paste and go. Europe is preparing to ship its second ATV space freighter. Europe's next space truck is nearly ready. And right now, they're under contract to provide at least five space freighters or space trucks. And with the ISS mission being extended now to 2020 at least, they're talking about contracts for more. But this is pretty exciting. This the freighters can take more than 6 tons of fuel, air, and food and equipment to the orbiting outpost, and acting as a temporary storage room on the back of the platform. This is a pretty good article here because they went into what they really found out during the first ATV that made it up to the International Space Station, and what they found is because the freighter is really docked at the far end of the International Space Station, it's actually the quietest area. And it was reported that some of the Russian cosmonauts actually slept in the freighter when they initially emptied it. But they were very quick to announce in this article that the freighter itself does not have the same radiation shielding as the rest of the International Space Station does. So really sleeping in there probably was not a good idea for your rad count. But they plan to launch this in November. And, of course, it'll be an equatorial launch. I believe the French are the ones that are actually... It's going to go up on Ariane 5. So it'll go to French Guiana. And the rest of it will be assembled there. But look for a November launch, December delivery at the International Space Station. Of course, they'll fill that thing full of garbage and then punch it back. And it'll burn up in it during its deorbit. They also say that they may be contracted to make one ATV that is going to be used specifically whenever the International Space Station has reached its end of life to actually deorbit the ISS. Doesn't that just make you kind of scratch your head a little bit? Why would you deorbit the ISS? Okay, you get to a certain point. We've lifted all that hardware up there. It's in space, okay? Obviously, we're going to be running the space station for at least, another 10 years. But we know the Russians' space lab was really, at a certain point, got to be hodgepodge and wires put together. Maybe we'll get to that same way with the International Space Station. But it doesn't make sense for me to deorbit that big of a structure in space. It seems like there could be some reutilization of some of the stuff on other projects. But, half the battle is lifting this stuff up into space. But I guess they don't think that way. But anyway, they may make one ATV to deorbit the ISS at the end of its life. Speaking of the space, the president has called on NASA to focus on trips to Mars and beyond. The president laid out yesterday to NASA that they would like to focus them on going to having a mission to an asteroid. Why would we send astronauts to an asteroid when we can send remote-controlled vehicles to asteroids? I don't get that one. But anyway, he says by 2030, the goal would be to put man in orbit around Mars, proving that we can get there, and then sometime in 2030, putting a crew on Mars itself. So they want to, by early next decade, a set of crewed flights. So what has happened here is part of the plan to scrap some of the stuff NASA had planned has been put on the back burner, and it's barely hanging on by a life string. And they think that the reason the president kind of backed down on some of his plans was that he had received a lot of criticism for it. But the budget now is going to have NASA concentrate on developing next-generation engines for commercially built spacecraft, in-space fuel depots, and robots. So we'll see what happens. As part of the Constellation program will continue. I don't know exactly what pieces, but of course, politicians on both sides of the fence are speaking critically of the plan, which is kind of surprising, but we'll see what happens with the ongoing development and the fallout from his decision. So we'll see where it goes there. All right, did you guys know that Intel at this point is not supporting USB 3.0 on its chipsets? And I was pretty surprised to hear that. Now, companies that are building new motherboards are obviously putting it internally on their own boards. But Intel, I don't know if this is a play by Intel for LightPeak technology. If you guys remember when I went to CES, we talked to Intel about LightPeak and they demonstrated it for us. And they were very clear that they're not in the position to do a setting policy on LightPeak. They want it to be something that is going to be discussions generated within the industry. But if Intel is not going to support USB 3.0, it's obvious to me that it looks like they're ready to shove LightPeak technology down the throats of everybody one way or the other. The folks at Gigabyte, ASUS, etc. have adopted 3.0, USB 3.0 on their motherboards and chipsets. So, you guys know this, and so some of you aren't as technical. Well, Intel makes the processors that are inside our computers. They also make chipsets that go on the motherboards of our computers that do a variety of different applications. So I'm sure most of you knew that, but just in case you didn't, the USB 3.0 spec has to be offboarded onto a different chip. So we'll see what happens with this, but I think one disadvantage of LightPeak, even though I think it's pretty attractive, is that LightPeak cannot power devices, and that's one distinct advantage that USB has. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Do you where are you guys coming down on the decision point on this? Do you guys think LightPeak, from what you've been told by me and others, is the way things should go, or do you think USB 3.0 is going to give you theoretically a 3x increase in speed of transfer between devices? At least at this point, that's theoretically what they think they're going to get out of it from USB 2.0 to USB 3.0 standards. So, which way? I like the LightPeak because it is definitely speedier, but at the same time, I understand that adoption of USB 3.0 will probably be pretty wide. Now, there's an article on CNN, and I just thought this was a total puff piece. I just wanted to talk to you about it. Many of you in the UK are now suffering, of course, from the volcanic eruption that happened in Norway. And not Norway. I'm pulling a brain fart here. Well, anyway, Norway's prime minister found him stuck in New York as a volcanic cloud that basically grounded flights in Europe. And he fired up his new Apple iPad, according to CNN, and did the job remotely of running his country. If you're the prime minister of a country or the president of a country, do you think really and honestly you're going to be able to run the country via your iPad? First of all, you probably have a whole staff of people that have laptops that are connected to critical government communication systems, secure email, secure telephones. And if they really think that this article where they're saying that the stranded leader is running his country by iPad, who did Apple pay to write this? They say it's very normal for the prime minister to travel abroad, so this is not different from other travels. It's just lasts some days more than expected. We have the internet, the mobile phones, and an iPad, which is excellent. Yeah. Okay. He's running the country with his iPad. Gotcha. I wonder how much Apple contributed to his reelection fund in this country. All right. Twitter gives a lowdown on its new business model. And wow. Well, I think we all knew this was coming. And so really, sponsors, why am I getting feedback? Is that coming from that phone? Let me move it over here. basically companies can sponsor searches, tweet searches. In other words, if you go in and search for CNN or Fox or somebody like that, you'll basically, the first tweets in the list of the search results will be that company. And the second will be commercial accounts where you can get analytics on how the click-throughs have been. You can already do that. There's a lot of great stats you can get through third-party services already with Twitter, so I don't know why they think companies would just pay Twitter directly for that. I don't know. We'll see. But I guess commercial accounts are in beta testing, so be watching your searches. If you guys capture one of these paid Twitter searches, send me a screen capture of it. I'd love to see how it's formatted and what it looks like. Of course, there's been some announcement, of course, with Twitter on some new API developments, which are pretty exciting in that you'll be able to have, they're essentially introducing what's called a namespace. And imagine me being able to put a namespace that would be podcast equals or some sort of a tag that would drive a link onto the Twitter post so that you could actually have a direct link to the to specific information. So anyway, namespaces are coming, so that's going to be cool. And the implementation of that is going to be probably a fierce battle and people trying to race to capture namespaces, but we'll see how they implement it in their SDK. All right, the MPAA and the RIAA, doesn't take too long for them to be out of the news in order to want to rile people up a little bit by announcing some new anti-piracy measures. Movie companies and recording companies, let me actually flip this over. This is over at tgdaily.com, and I'll bring this up in the browser for you. I forget I don't have that up. What they are saying is that the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Industry Association of America have submitted a series of requests to the Office of Intellectual Property Enforcement. They want spyware to be installed on all computers to detect and delete pirate. Of course, you guys are seeing the ad on Ustream. They want spyware to be forcibly installed or pre-installed on any computer to detect and delete pirated material. Wow. They really want this to happen. They want technology to detect and monitor filter traffic or specific files based on analysis of information such as protocols, file types, text descriptions, metadata, file size, and so on, as well as content recognition technologies such as digital hashes, watermark detection, and fingerprinting technologies. They want current regulations for allowing the blocking of offending sites to be excluded to allow permanent bans for repeat offenders. Okay, well, I wonder how far they're going to get with this one. We'll keep an eye out for you. We'll keep you informed. All right, next article up. Hey, if you get an app rejected from the Apple Store, all you have to do to receive an invitation back to the Apple Store is to win a Pulitzer Prize. A few months ago, we talked about a cartoonist, a political satirist, that... his store, his satirist. He had submitted his app, basically cartoons, and he had just, you know, he's doing puns on government officials, and Apple rejected it because it was too political. Well, this guy's won the Pulitzer Prize, a Pulitzer Prize, and now Apple has sent him an email saying, "Hey, we want you back. Come on, we'll take your app now." And he went on to say, "I feel kind of guilty." Fior told the Journal, "I'm getting preferential treatment just because I got the Pulitzer." To be fair, it's probably more directly the public attention than the Pulitzer itself that caught Apple's eyes, but the honor, no doubt, is illustrated the validity of satirical work in the eyes of the real world, the eyes, that is, outside of Apple's carefully guarded walls. So, yeah, if you have your Apple app rejected, all you have to do is win something big, like a Pulitzer, to be considered to have your app approved in the App Store. I got an email about a week ago from a company saying that they, hey Todd, this is big news. We're announcing malware, anti-malware, Trojan detection, and virus detection for the Mac. It was a brand new app that was brand new software that was being introduced by the Mac. And I kind of like, I don't want to talk about that because generally Mac users say, I don't need that stuff. I don't need to load it. But there's an article about PC World that is talking about Apple fans. Well, actually, this is a commentary by a gentleman by the name of Mark Mafferyette. He's chief security architect at security firm FireEye. And I don't know if they make software or not. But he says Apple fans are clueless about security. He says not only are Apple fans misguided about the Mac security, but Apple doesn't take security as seriously as Microsoft, according to this specific expert. So I'll have this link up in the show notes, and I know this is probably going to raise a lot of eyebrows, but in an interview done by CNET, he claimed that Microsoft takes security more seriously than does Apple, and that Apple fans are being ignorant about security risk. And he says that he believes Microsoft does one of the best jobs in the industry around security. As for Apple and its fans, he has very little good to say, saying that the Mac is vulnerable and its fans ignorant about security risks. What do you guys think? What do you Mac users think? Let me know. Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, this 9-year-old out in Virginia, actually Fairfax County Public School District, is not real happy about a third grader. Because he was smart enough to hack into the Blackboard learning system used by the county school system, and he changed teachers and staff members' passwords. He was able to change or delete course content. He could have changed or deleted content. And one of the victims, I guess, was Fairfax Superintendent Jack D. Dale. So imagine, here's this 9-year-old third grader who all of a sudden in the Blackboard system become the only third grader to have administrator privileges. And the IP log showed that he'd been wandering around and, going after doing stuff to, like the superintendent. That's a great way to win friends and influence people. But I guess the police decided and school officials decided no harm, no foul. They said the boy did not intend to do any serious damage. And didn't do so. So the police withdrew and are allowing the school district to handle the third grader. Which goes to tell you that maybe the folks at Blackboard need to get a handle on their security a little bit. If a third grader can hack it, imagine what would happen if a fourth grader was able to start targeting the device. You guys remember last year, Frontier Communications making a big deal. Of course, we made a big deal of the announcement that Time Warner did about doing bandwidth capping. You guys remember, we went to battle. All of you did, especially those of you in the areas that was initially going to be rolled out in Texas. We did a big battle cry here. We had a lot of commentary about it, and as well did many other publications and folks that were putting out content. But a company called Frontier Communications are now testing. And of course, they were one of the companies that was crying foul about what Time Warner was doing. They were really, this is horrible what they're doing, and this should not be allowed, and so forth. But according to a letter being sent to Frontier users in Minnesota, users who consume more than 100 gigs a month are going to automatically have their bills bumped to $99 a month. And users who consume more than 250 gigs a month are having their bills bumped to a staggering $250 a month. Users who don't respond within 15 days get their service disconnected. And but again, this is a company that is in one of these areas that has no competition. They have invested almost nothing. It is reported that they have invested almost nothing in their network services. And that right now, the average user of their service gets a maximum capacity of about 3 megs per second. So, after criticizing Time Warner, and now they're going to impose caps and essentially, well, they're not imposing caps, they're just putting a rate increase as a way to overcome, you know, threaten people with a bigger bill to lower the amount of usage so that their network can continue to survive without investing money. Are you a Frontier internet user that listens to this show? I'd love to hear from you. I really, really would. Let me know what you think. Send me a copy of that mail that you got. Or, scan it and fax it to me. Or, email it to me. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, I've always told you guys, be careful where you post your content. Be careful where you build your communities. Be careful about protecting your own brand. Because you never know when someone is going to make a change in their service policies that is going to affect you negatively. Ning has announced to its 2.3 million network users that they are going to make you start paying. We've had a good response at Geek News Central in the article that was written by one of our contributing bloggers. And but if you don't pay up, your public site is going to disappear. The CEO of the company, in an email to 40% reduced staff, told his company that they're going to focus completely on premium offerings. You don't pay, you don't play. So what you got to pay now is the service offerings includes faster access to Ning support staff, $10 to $100 per month, depending on responsiveness, custom domains at $5 per month, additional storage and bandwidth at $10 per month, removal of ads with the option to embed your own at $25 per month, and get rid of the link at the bottom of every page that asks users to create their own social network is an additional $25 a month. So if you add that all up, 25, 25, they're 50, plus 10 is 60, plus another $5 is $65, plus at least 10. It looks to me that if you want to basically utilize all of the services that they're going to make available as a premium service, $75 a month, or you don't play at all, or maybe as little as $10 a month. I never set up a Ning network because another walled garden, you can't build a community there without risk of something like this happening. I'm telling you guys, set your own destiny by creating your own brand. Set up your own domain name. Set up your own website. There are so many different plugins, different applications that you can use, forums, software, you name it. Control your own destiny. Don't rely on some company that's going to charge you more than what it would cost for a dedicated server every month to run a community website. So we'll see. You know, this is, again, just like, Tripod, Emium, those companies before changed the rules on you mid-place. Do you have a Ning network? Do you have a Ning site? Are you affected by this? Are you going to pay? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Really, just let me know. Let me know what your thoughts on this. Okay, a couple of quick space articles. No additional spacewalk needed for International Space Station repairs. NASA managers decided late Wednesday they would not perform an additional spacewalk on the current shuttle mission to the ISS to report a faulty valve that they found in third excursion. So they say they're going to analyze and figure out what the fix is, and then they'll use the astronauts on board ISS to do the fix at a later date. Now, you getting ready to buy a 2 terabyte hard drive? You want a roundup of what is good and what's bad, what speeds? There is a great, absolutely great article over at hothardware.com, and they have really put to task, I think, how many hard drives did they actually test here? Let me look. 10 different hard drives from, it looks like, maybe three different manufacturers. It was actually Samsung, Seagate, and Western Digital. So they did a shootout of these, and you can get a full-blown rundown on speeds, pricing, the whole nine yards. Is a multi-page article, but they ran over 250 tests on each drive, and they're going to basically lay out which one was the best. So if you're getting ready to jump up to a 2 terabyte drive, definitely check out the article at Hot ohanahardware.com. There's an article running Gadget, and being going to be going out to Ford, I got to get educated on their products and services a lot more before I'm there, so I'm able to ask the questions that need to be asked, the tough questions. And that's what I want you guys to. I want you guys start thinking about questions I can ask Ford executives in relation to their cars, their Ford Sync, their technology, because, I'm all about transparency and asking the hard questions. It's not all about going out there and giving Ford a free rein to do a big PR pitch. But if you have questions you want asked of the Ford hierarchy, when I do my trip in May, this is going to be a great time for you guys to, have me ask hard questions and get direct answers. If they allow me to bring a camera, I'll be filming as much as I can. And so we'll see what happens. But anyway, Ford has been slowly but surely tweaking its Ford Touch, its interface, for months. And people are pretty happy with the new features. And what I think is kind of cool about this, and I wish my GPS did this, was it actually shows you which route is the most economical, aka economical to drive as far as fuel efficiency. And it also tells you, my GPS tells me how much longer it takes to go one route, but not multiple routes. So pretty cool stuff. But I have this link up in the show notes. Any of you using this, My Ford Touch, in your vehicles? I don't even know which cars it comes in, so I have to get some up to speed on that as well. But anyway, pretty cool that it's about time, this technology helps us save money and be more efficient. All right, pretty spectacular solar flare, and this is the biggest one in the last 15 years. And wait till you guys see the video on this. This is really, really cool. Let me see if I can bring it up in the system here, and we'll switch over, and I'm going to play this for those of you on Ustream. But it's a time-lapse video of, and I guess, oh, this is, looks like it's over on Vimeo. So you see this huge solar flare coming off the top of the sun, and just, oh man, it just explodes out. And NASA said that it's a 50 million mile arch is how big this solar flare was, and it's the biggest one that they've seen in over 15 years. So pretty cool stuff on the NASA side. But they say that you could have put like 126 Earths into the arch. So that gives you some perspective as for size. Got some more pictures for you, some pretty remarkable space pictures. I haven't seen these specific ones before. I have this linked up in the show notes for you. But I have to commend Sprint for basically putting together an iPad case that I kind of got a chuckle out of. Sprint is offering a specialized iPad case made to carry both the tablet and a wireless hotspot. So it's available either a flat top folio or sleeve design. The 4G case, as they're calling it, offers a padded main compartment for the iPad, as well as a dedicated pocket for the Sprint Overdrive 3G, 4G mobile hotspot, which allows up to 5 Wi-Fi-enabled devices to simultaneously connect to the company's wireless data network. So I think this is pretty cool. You basically, that's if you don't have Wi-Fi, you're hosed. But I really have thought at some point maybe I would buy one of those portable hotspots in placement of my USB stick, and the performance is probably going to be very comparable. But then I would be guaranteed to have Wi-Fi connectivity anywhere I was at with my device. Now, I've been playing, of course, using Windows 7 and using Windows 7 as a hotspot, and that works really well. I have my Sprint mobile device or my Verizon mobile device plugged into a USB port. And using Connectify, I can actually set up a virtual Wi-Fi hub with my laptop. And that works okay. It's not as fast, I don't think, as being connected to a Wi-Fi device directly. But for checking email or doing some basic surfing of email, it works really good for those of you that have Windows 7 machines. So if you've got a Windows 7 laptop, and you're traveling, and I don't know if Mac users can do this or not, but you can set up, again, that virtual Wi-Fi hotspot using Connectify, and wherever your laptop's at, long as it's on, you can use your iPad. But it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? But the again, this this 3G, 4G mobile hotspot is pure brilliance on Sprint's part, and makes me think, this is a way to guarantee connectivity and not have to buy an iPad with 3G in it when it comes out now, according to Apple in May. All right, fellas and ladies, if you're out there visiting adult video sites, be forewarned. Apparently, a new type of malware infects PCs using file share sites and publishes the user's net history on a public website before demanding a fee for its removal. The Japanese Trojan virus installs itself on computers using a popular file sharing service called Winnie. I guess this is probably a file sharing service that Japanese use by, or it's used by up to 200 million people. And it targets those downloading illegal copies of games in the hentai genre, an explicit form of anime. Website Yomori claims that 5,500 people have so far admitted to being affected and have had to pay the 1,500 yen bounty to basically get your information off a public website. Imagine a Trojan publishing your web surfing history. And this, of course, right now applies to pretty much those in Japan. But imagine they doing that model against us here in the United States or anywhere else. And publicly publishing your web history and make you go, maybe it's something, you know, I think your web history is about as private as you can get. And especially your search terms and everything else. They can, boy, people, can you imagine what people could really find out about you in a hurry? Scary stuff. But I bet you those Japanese guys or ladies were very much willing to pay the 1,500 yen to get the information off the internet. New York Times got a good article on buying a $30 cable to use the iPad on a television, and it's got a pretty good write-up about this, and I'm definitely going to be doing that as well, because really it opens up some new viewing possibilities that my Apple TV doesn't provide, so I'm going to have that available, or buy one of those cables. Anybody done that already? Finally, got a link that's sent over by Andrew, Andrew Darlow. He actually sent me some of these sleeves, and I haven't opened the box up. That's here yet. They're protective bubble bags, and they're made from the same material, the pop material. But they're pretty. I guess I know what I'm talking about, the clear, semi-clear plastic that's got bubbles in it. They're protective wrap, but it's basically designed as a pouch, and you can stick devices in it. And used to protect your devices. So I have a link up to this in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right, let me go ahead and get into email. There's no voicemails tonight. So, yeah, plug it. Hey, 200 million people, it's the entire population of Japan. Laugh out loud. Well, that's what the article said, plug it. So I'm just reading the chat right now. There was no voicemails. So we'll go ahead and get into the email comments, which are a huge number. Got an email from Thomas. He says, "Hey, Todd, hello from Ohio. Hear you through MediaFly on Squeezebox by Logitech. I am sending this to you on my new iPad." Well, hopefully there, Thomas, we'll be able to very soon allow you to listen to Geek News Central through the tech podcast or Blueberry app on the same box. So we'll keep you advised, okay? Thanks for being a listener. Got an email from DJ. "Hey, Todd, just so you're aware, the pop-up player in Geek News Central that plays the video of your podcast hasn't been working for quite a few of the last episodes. Keep up the great work with your show, DJ." DJ, I couldn't duplicate what you're showing me. And is anyone else having an issue with the video? Remember, on the website, the video that you would play is in stream. It's on the website. It's not designed to pop up. There is an audio pop-up that you can play, but there is no video pop-up. Okay, only the audio has a pop-up player. Got an email via Twitter from Steve. He said, "Hey, congrats on the new distributions. Might give me a reason to buy one." In other words, aka a Roku, or start a podcast on my own. I hope you do that. Thanks for the twit. Got an email from Bo. He said, "Hey, Todd, a lot of non-European people mix Sweden with Switzerland." Yeah, I'm a knucklehead. Yes, Sweden is in northern Europe, and Switzerland is between Germany and Italy. You're right. I'm a knucklehead. Thanks for the clarification, Bo, and I'll keep that straight, okay? I like you and your show, and if you're a bit confused about the European landscape, I knew it. I was just being dumb. Thanks, man. Got an email from Jim. He said, hey, Todd, yeah, go buy a 3G iPad and use all of AT&T's 3G. Sent for my iPhone. Thanks, Jim. I got an email here from Frank. He sent me a link to, waiting for the email to load. The IT person involved in the webcam gate of that school has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights. So I have a link to that. It's an article over on philly.com being the listener links. I got an email from Steve. Hey, Todd, I thought I would mention a low-cost solution to fixing the audio buzz you get when hooking up a computer to other audio devices. I use a ground loop isolator from Radio Shack for about $20. This lets me hook up a PC for streaming Netflix to my home theater system without that annoying buzz. Doing a Google search for a ground loop isolator turns up several links to various products and similar price range, so podcasters on a budget might want to try out one of those low-cost solutions first. These also tend to work well with car audio applications to reduce alternator whine. Steve, I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Steve. But yeah, it might be worthy a try for sure. Got an email from Grant. He said, hey, Todd, have you come across this before? And it's an article in... we're on CNET talking about God mode in Windows 7. I have not, but I'm definitely going to be checking it out. Thanks for the link, Grant. We also have one of our fans working on a widget, or actually a GNC gadget for Windows 7 users. So hopefully that'll be done here soon. And thanks, Jacob, for his work on that. We'll be letting you know when that's ready. Got an email here from Anderson. He says, hey, Todd, well, so I came across this thing, thought it was great. Totally addictive HTML5 drum kit. So also, I want to let you know that I asked the folks from Frame Destinations. And I did. I got those sent. Those arrived. They're here. I just haven't looked at them yet. Thanks for all the information on that, Andrew. And thanks for having them send those over. And I'll have a more, a bigger write-up on it soon. I hear my kids. They just got home. Got an email from Kelly. And, you know, sometimes PR people are really trying to sneak one through. Hey, Todd, I'm a great big fan of your show. And yet they talk about something that in their email that is not at all associated with the show. Kelly, please do your homework. I'm not going to read your email on the air. Don't try to slide one by, okay? If you're really listening to the show, please, you know, say, Todd, I heard you talk about me, and I'll be happy to put stuff up. But it really doesn't look like this is a, you know, looks like you guys, you're just trying to work me a little bit here. So if you're listening, I'll be happy to put stuff up, but not until then. All right, I got an email from Alan. He said, hey, you asked how do we watch internet TV in our living room? So here's my setup. I bought a used PC and a component-style case to fit in my entertainment cabinet. I upgraded the RAM sound card and video card and installed Windows 7 and set Media Center to run on startup. I have a DVI'd HDMI cable going to the TV for video and optical audio going to the AV receiver for audio. All of our DVDs, music, and photos are on this PC. For video podcasts, I use the Media Browser plugin for Media Center, which downloads the latest episodes of each one. I subscribe to and presents a playlist for me. A Boxy plugin is also available for Media Center, but I don't really have much use for it. I use the Hulu plugin and the Amazon Video plugin. If there's just a plugin for Pandora, I'd be set. But as now, I still have to open Firefox and browse to Pandora. Netflix is built into Media Center. Love the show. Been listening background since the show number 50 or so. Alan in Maryland. Shameless plug. Hey, you guys, check out Alan's website at makingwindowseasy.com. I have a link to that in the show notes. You guys, check his site out. Got an email here from Howard, and he said, hey, Todd, I've been a GNC fan for a long time. It's my pleasure to present you with our service and product called ramenbox.com. He says, in a nutshell, we're the world's first customizable box of instant noodles. You guys want to check this out? I thought it was pretty cool. Ramenbox.com. So thanks, Howard, for that. Got an email here from Frank. Say, hey, Todd, judge enjoins release of any photo or screenshots for the spying program. So Frank's going to keep me up to date on what's going on in Philly with that. I have a link up in the show notes. Got an email from Nick. He says, hey, Todd, my name is Nick, and I just purchased your podcasting book. Boy, Nick, that thing is getting a little bit dated there. He says, I'm in the process of starting my own small podcast show, and I'd like to know how to post it on Facebook. If you could help, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you, Nick. Nick, hey, here's the deal. Get it up on a blog and then just post a link to it in Facebook. You basically can just put a link to the actual blog post, and that's probably the best way to do it. I don't think you can actually publish or post or use Facebook as your podcasting platform, but, you know, just get a blog going and then link to it through Facebook. That's the easiest. Got an email from Andrew. Hey, Todd, I just saw this and remember you speaking about a business card scanner. Here's a good overview of many different scanners from one of PC Magazine sites. And actually, Andrew, I bought the, it's down on the floor. Well, the card scan, business card scanner's been working really great. Okay, last couple of emails here so we can get wrapped up. Got an email from Jill. Said, hey, Todd, just want to let you know, listen to GNC Podcast on my Linux-powered Chumby internet clock with the wonderful MediaFly widget. Again, Jill, we hope to have you a wonderful Blueberry or Tech Podcast widget soon. I would love it if GNC could make its own Flash-based widget for my Chumby so that I could watch the video stream also. Smiley face. Love the show, your enlightened geekiness, and your lighthearted laugh. Oh, love your show, your enlightened geekiness, and your lighthearted laugh. Yours truly, Geek and Tux, Jill. Thanks, Jill, for being a listener. She sent me a picture of herself. Thanks for being a fan of the show. Appreciate it. Got an email here from Scott. Hey, was wondering how well is the Wi-Fi working on your iPad, and does it have the same range as a laptop on Wi-Fi? Scott, so far, no issues. I went all over the house with it and used it. I've used it in the reading room where I normally wouldn't have a computer. Had it in our bedroom, which is the farthest away from any Wi-Fi spots, and it was working fine. So, don't know. He wants to send a shout-out to Scott. Hey, Scott, it was nice meeting you, and thanks for sending me the image. Definitely appreciate it. We're actually going to talk about Scott's company in the next show. I got to find some stuff. We'll talk about that in the next podcast, or this company Scott works for. Okay. The Todd that sent me the email. I know that you're upset at me for not doing my show Monday night and basically waiting to see the show live. You know, sometimes it just happens, friend. I do my best to put out the show every single night on schedule, on time. I never try to miss a show. You guys know that. I think, as I said in the beginning of the show, 570 or what are we up to tonight? Let me look at the show notes so I give you the exact number. Tonight is 567. And, you know, I've done 557 shows on schedule, on time, every time. I think that during CES, I usually take off. That's two shows for every year I've been to CES. I took a vacation where I found a substitute. I took a couple of shows off when my dad died. So maybe it's higher than 10. Maybe it's 15 over 5 years or 20 over 5 years. And I think that's pretty good numbers and pretty good reliability for doing the show. And I know you're staying up late to watch me on Ustream. Sign up for the newsletter, and that way I'll make sure that you get the info that I'm not going to be online. I do my best, but, you know, things come up. It's life. And, I'm like the mailman. I really tried to deliver on schedule, and I apologize that you're upset at me and that you have lost confidence in my degree of professionalism in doing the show. He says, I want to drop this line to let you know that this last week, I feel you have lost a degree of professionalism towards your responsibility to your show and your audience by not keeping us informed as to whether there would be any shows, so that those of us that stay up very late to watch a show live could go on and sleep. While that may not be a concern, to you a great deal, there are only a few shows that are setting the stage for the new media broadcasting, that is how audiences will judge reliability to which consumption of such media will be consumed. Remember the old saying, we'll be watching, Todd. I appreciate that, Todd. I really do. But at the same time, again, man, I had my hands full, and you have my apologies, and I'll do my best to announce in advance whether or not I'm going to be online. Got an email. One more email from Andrew. Is looking forward to tonight's show. I'm sure it will be a long one since my email earlier this week. I've been working on info about a page. Oh, anyway, I have some stuff up here from Andrew. Thanks, Arlo, Andrew, for all that. All right, folks. Not too long. Hour 20. Again, mucho apology for not being on Monday and Thursday and delaying today's show to Friday. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place, normal time, normal place. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. If you want to blast me, go ahead. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And we'll be here for you. And I hope that you'll be here for me. Thanks for your support. Thanks for supporting the sponsors. It is definitely appreciated. They help keep the lights on here, quite literally. And this show's reliability depends on me being able to feed my family too. So I don't miss a show lightly. I guess that's it. Everyone take care. Lots more information as I get basically debriefed and stuff about NAB. So we'll talk about that on the next show. But look forward to seeing everyone next week. Take care and aloha.